character and his physical presence together, and then kind of abandoning it, then paring it away, so that what was left was this just little kernel, this little hard core of what kind of character he really was. And because I was doing that with Brian, who was doing the same, he was involved in the same process, I like to think that we got to a point where all the peripheral characteristics had been suspended and we were just two friends talking to each other.
My name's Toby Longworth, and I play a couple of parts in this. The main, I mean, I'm only here in the fourth episode of this series. I'm playing Kaiokane Hammerfriend. Hammerfriend is hyphenated because it's quite a posh person. when the hammers met the friends, I'm playing a corn berserker, berserker and a rat-like creature, Skaven. Rat-like creature, that's the whole range of potential voices, I'd say. I got into doing voice acting. Now, I've been doing voice acting now for like some ludicrous amount of time. I mean, obviously I do acting, all kinds of acting, really. But I got into I did a lot of radio. I used to be on the radio series called Weekending. And I did a lot of impressions, a lot of kind of comedy. Well, even though if you listen to Weekending, you might not agree, but it was meant to be comedy. We had a very good time, but I did a lot of Radio 4. I did some voices for Phantom Menace. I did a couple of characters for the Phantom Menace. And through all that, I got involved in Big Finish, did a lot of voices for Big Finish, and actually Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So I'm the kind of triple threat when it comes to science fiction conventions. You know, I'm just like, I played Judge Dredd for Big Finish for a long time. So, you know, I bring a lot of stuff to the party. In the Warhammer world, I've played quite a few different characters. And I think the ones that really come to mind. Are Eisenhorn and Garrow. I think Garrow is the kind of quintessential kind of he's not really an ultramarine kind of character. He's incredibly steadfast. He's incredibly, you know, powerful and noble and motivated. And he's a great hero to play. In fact, I tried to sort of base my version of him on T. Lawrence. Or rather, you know, Peter O'Toole playing T.V. Lawrence. But that quality of extraordinary, you know, confidence, you can trust him with pretty much anything. He's a very trustworthy set of hands. And Eisenhorn is another character I played, and I'm also very fond of him as a character, because he lives in a world that's very different from the standard Warhammer, the 40K world. And his ability to explore a different dimension, and he's got a kind of almost detective novel quality, but he's got the whole extraordinary panoply of the Warhammer universe to play with, which is an amazing thing when you think about it. He's got this incredible universe to play with, but he's also working on a kind of individuals and stuff, and that. It allows for, I mean, in just a purely practical sense, when you're in the world of ultramarines and the like, very few people are accented. They are all very posh and very noble. And after a while, it can get quite tricky finding new characters that sound very similar. And within the Eisenhorn world, you can be more accented. You can have people, there are shops, for goodness sake. There are actually shops where you can go and buy things, which seems impossible, but there it is. It's a really very interesting, it's a peculiar, a convention to get into when you're reading a novel from the perspective of one of the performers within it, one of the characters in it. So Eisenhorn's reading the story. So you play Eisenhorn as the narrator, then you'd play Eisenhorn as, the character Eisenhorn, and then you have to play the other characters as if they're themselves. You can't do Eisenhorn doing their voices, but you also get these moments where Eisenhorn is speaking telepathically to people. So there's another quality. So that's not the narrator voice, that's not the dialogue voice, but it's the telepathic voice, and so it's a slightly different. And so it's very interesting trying to make sure that you've given it some clear indication to the listener who has nothing other than your voice to deal with, and I do mean deal with, to say this is happening inside his head, this is narration, this is conversation, and it's great fun. Hopefully people pull it off, but it is that's the really difficult thing to get right. Well, now, my characters don't really go on any specific journey. There's not really character arcs for the rat creatures. They turn up, they get killed, and then they go away. And the berserkers turn up, they get killed, and they go away. But, Hammerfriend, his journey, interestingly, you actually, he goes and checks out who's going to be invading, and comes back and says, it's a bunch of people are invading. So his journey is he runs to the gates and he runs back again. He's got a literal journey, but he's no literal character arc. He turns up knowing as much as he had at the beginning. He ends up knowing as much as he started with. Well, there's a limited amount you can prepare beforehand. You do a certain amount because you want to make sure that you're coming in with the right kind of character. And I mean, I get, link sent to me, Matthew sends me, video links to things where they've used similar voices and that kind of thing. So you want to look and see what kind of rank your character, holds. But the big thing is once you don't want to prepare too much because you're never really sure at what pitch the people you're performing the scenes with are going to be doing their stuff. So you don't want to get too entrenched, before you meet them because it can be difficult. You can get it a bit too fixed. It's going to be like this, and I'm going to say this. And it's particularly with pronunciations as well. I mean, the thing is, they're very difficult to get consensus on how things are pronounced. And it can be particularly difficult because I'm not in yesterday. They may have decided that something's going to be pronounced in a certain way, and so we just have to stick with that. And it will usually end up with being, right, well, I'm afraid we've, 30% of the time we've said this, and so we're going to have to go with that, 30% isn't a very good percentage. 70% of the time, we've come with this. Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I think you have to have a certain amount of ability to improvise. I mean, not just because of, you may have made a terrible mistake about what your character's about, and so you have to put it together. There's also, sometimes it needs more in this, more violence in this, it needs to be more tempered, and it's not until you hear it out loud you realise actually if my character's just shouting all the time, he needs to have a moment not to shout, or you need a bit of light and shade, and that you do need to come up with it on the fly. But one thing it's difficult to come up with on the fly with is the terminology that is very specific to the Warhammer world, that sort of stuff. I mean, and also, you're negotiating an area of world that everybody listening to this is incredibly familiar with, and every last detail of it is familiar to them. And so you cannot step outside of that because everyone's quite legitimately going to go, well, you can't do that. It's just not on, This whole world that we're inhabiting here, it's extremely detailed and complex, and it rivals the Star Wars universe in that respect. And one of the things I think is true about Star Wars, as much as the world of Warhammer, and I think Doctor Who as well, actually, is that thing of it's the enormity of the thing. If you start worrying about it, it can overcome you. And I think, and the knowledge of the fans and all that sort of thing, you have to be aware of not treading on any toes, but if you get too kind of mimsy about, you've got to be bold. You've got to take bold steps, and you've got to go for it, because it, sooner or later you're going to tread on somebody's dreams, one way or the other. And you just need to just be bold and confident. Do things with integrity, and as long as you mean it. It's the thing about the great story about acting is that the most important thing in acting is sincerity. And once you learn how to fake that, you're laughing. Brian Blessed is epic, and it has been an absolute dream to be able to work with him. It has, in fact, been a dream to work with him. I think I might have worked with him many, many years ago, but everything gets very hazy very quickly if you're an actor, particularly in the world of radio. There's a lot of lunches and a lot of kind of, there's a lot of booze is drunk. I'm not suggesting that Brian, for any minute, is a boozer, but I certainly have been. He's fantastic. He's very interesting. He also is, of course, a great Shakespearean actor, and his fund of stories is bottomless. And as his ability to creatively swear is frankly second to none. Well, I knew quite a lot about Warhammer and Black Library before this week, because I've been doing Warhammer Black Library titles for like 10 years. I don't know, quite a long time now. And so my answer there would be plenty. But before that, it was a while ago, but I was surprised. I mean, I hadn't heard very much about it, but then as soon as I became involved, it was amazing to me how I hadn't done. If you see, I mean, there's shops on every high street. There are, and it's the largest, I think this is a fact, the largest producer of paint in Europe, I believe, which is an overwhelming fact. Good to drop into conversation. But it's one of those things. It's like a secret world has been going, not like the Masons, but it's the secret world that you've not been a part of, and you suddenly open this door and there's all this stuff inside, and you're like, oh my God. I mean, I do make model kits. I make Airfix kits, and that's pretty much my hobby. And when Matthew took me around the museum up in Nottingham, it is overwhelming, and it's just overwhelming. If you haven't been, go. It's incredible. And it is just so this has all been happening underneath my very nose, that kind of thing. It is. I haven't got a very big part in this one, but out of the three of them, two of them die, which is quite cool. But the coolest bit is eating elf meat. That was everything. Deliciously eating some elf meat.
I'm Nick Heim. I'm Black Library's managing editor. So Gotrek Gunnarsson is an enduring character from the Black Library stable. He's actually been around since before Black Library's inception. He was originally written by William King, who based him on a Warhammer Fantasy roleplay character. So in terms of what great characters do we want to sort of bring back and reimagine in the sort of new age of Sigmar setting, Gotrek was very, very high on that list. And the last time we saw that character in the Warhammer Old World setting, he'd literally just passed through a Realm Gate. So we felt that narratively, and in terms of the character's weight and history, he was a great choice for this audio drama. Well, the first thing you have to consider is who you're going to get to write for the project. And for us, there was only really one choice, and that was David Gaimer. He's got a long pedigree of Warhammer Fantasy writing in general, and he'd also written for Gotrek before. So the first step really was to get in touch with the author and sound them out as to their interest and whether they wanted to get involved in the project. The next stage was bringing some people together, which would include David, myself, my manager, and some other folks who would essentially bat around some ideas and think about how would we visualize this character from the old world in the new setting. And not only that, how would we make it work for audio? And not only that, how do we make it work in a four-part audio? Much more ambitious than we'd ever done before. Well, Gotrek was a troll slayer during the times of the old world. And we felt he would be a good fit for the Age of Sigmar setting, particularly with reference to the Fire Slayers. There's quite a lot of correlation between the old Slayers and the Fire Slayers, certainly in terms of their look. So Gotrek felt like a good choice. It felt like a character that we could take from that, from the old setting plausibly, and make him work for Age of Sigmar, to give him a flavour of the new universe, but at the same time retain the things that were cool about that character originally. We'd often ruminated if we were ever to do a longer sort of audio drama with a character like Gotrek. It happens that we are doing that now. That wouldn't Brian Blessed be amazing voicing him? And so it was a bit of a dream come true, I think. That's a phrase that gets used a lot, but I think in this case it was probably the case. Yeah, phenomenal talent, fantastic background as an actor. Everyone loves Flash Gordon. Brian Blessed was probably made to play Gotrek, I think. Well, I hope it's going to blow their minds that Brian's going to be taking on this great role. He's got a fantastic voice, so unique, unmistakable, really. And Gotrek is an unmistakable character. So the two go together really well. So my hope is, and my expectation is, that the fans are going to absolutely love the fact that Brian's taking on this role.
My name is Connie Magadza, and I play Osayande. He's a human warrior, and he's at war. And yeah, it's a struggle, you know. We know what the story's about, and he's you know, he's fighting all manner of creatures. Yeah, it's been great to play. Right, well, Osayande turns out to be quite a traitorous character. He's behind the death of Jordain, although, of course, he initially denies it, and he tries to come across as a man of honour, that kind of thing. But it's quickly revealed, I think, that he's not as honourable as he'd like to make out. And as in keeping with these kind of things, he comes to a bit of a sticky end. Well, it's the same with all of these roles. You're sent the script, of course. You read through the script. Roles such as this particular one, they provided background, because this is episode 4, I think it is, and they provided background for the characters from the previous productions of the episodes that they've put together. That helps to build it out, to give you a picture of who you're playing, what the story's about. Also, in this day and age, you know, with the internet, you can get on and you can Google the name, and you can find a production online. You can see comments by other people, and that all helps give you a picture of what you're getting involved in. Just to let you know, for example, when I started The Archers back in 2000, the internet wasn't around then, and I had to ask a friend. I'd never listened to The Archers. I knew what it was, but I'd never listened to it. And I had to ask a friend if she knew anything about The Archers. She then asked a friend of hers who had listened to The Archers, and that process took 2 or 3 days for it to be relayed back to me about the fact that it's a, you know, everyday story of country folk. And that's how I managed to get some background into the program itself and what I was getting into then. Nowadays, thanks to the internet, you know, bosh, it's done in a couple of minutes, isn't it? Well, this is different. This is, in a sense, it's more, I don't know if this is the right terminology, but it's a bit more cartoonish. Every role I've played to date has been a human being, a normal, in inverted commas, human being. Yeah, so I've, you know, you sort of tried to make it. I'm using an accent, a Southern Africa, an East and stroke Southern African accent that I've used in other roles in the past, notably in The Archers. But I've tried to extend it slightly and make it, as I say, a little more cartoonish, a little less human, if that makes sense. Oh, Brian Blessed. Well, yeah, I mean, this, you know, they aren't many more iconic actors around. You know, it's everybody knows Brian Blessed. I mean, we've all been, well, I've been watching him on television since, I think Blackadder was the first time I saw him on television. We all know about, his famous line, "Gordon's alive." You know, who doesn't know that? And you know, he's been in so many films. Often when you meet these people, these stars, if you want, you know, it can be quite daunting, intimidating. It was great. I met him, in reception this morning, sat next to him, had a cup of coffee with him. He immediately started telling myself and a couple of the other actors about the work he does with gorillas. And then of course, he's a raconteur, isn't he? So the stories start coming out, the tales, the people he's worked with, things that have gone wrong, things that have gone right. You know, it's been great fun. It's been, you know, an absolute, it's been an honor to actually work with somebody of such standing, you know, and, one of my better days' work, I think. Well, it's been great. It's been great. I mean, Matt, the producer, has been brilliant. Met him this morning, and he's, explained what he wanted. We've been through the scenes that I've been recording. We've been through them. He gives great direction, tells you what he requires, asks you to tweak certain things. The other actors have been brilliant, you know, David, Toby, and to mention just two of them. I don't know how many days recording they've been doing themselves. I've just dropped in for this one day. But that made me feel welcome. It's been a real pleasure to be a part of this. The coolest moment. I think there are points where he's talking, he expresses where he's from. He's the people of Edassa. And, you know, he's the leader of the army, and he takes great pride in explaining and expressing what it means to him, to his people, where he's from. And I think all of that has to come out in his voice. And I like to think, well, I mean, I got a little chill down my spine sort of reading some of his lines as he's charging forward into battle, you know. And I like to think that, you know, I hopefully I conveyed that okay. But that was pretty cool.
I am Steve Conlin, and I play Fawn, the Dwarden Fireslayer, and a horde of angry Skaven. I had a couple of very small, student projects to kind of get to grips with the medium a little bit, but mostly it's through Games Workshop, all your dramas. I'm homegrown. So, Matt brought me in for a Khorne berserker, I think, and I was berserkery enough that I stuck around. For Games Workshop, I am Elias Cull in Agents of the Throne. I am Big Mech Ungrim in Prophets of War. Lots of other things. Lots of orcs. I get orcs a lot. But outside of Games Workshop, lots of Shakespeare and mostly theatre at the moment. Stuff like that. Fawn and His Journey. So Fawn is a Dwarven Fireslayer, and he's the son of a Rune Lord. I think he's the seventh or eighth son of a Rune Lord. So he isn't afforded very much respect in his eyes, and has been tasked with, at the beginning of the whole thing, with leading a force in a not particularly glorious exercise campaign. And he's arrogant and hot-headed, all the things you would typically want from a Dwarven Fireslayer, but he very quickly learns a lesson in humility, gains some wisdom, loses some body parts. How did I prepare? I did a lot of drinking and a lot of running around naked and shouting, mostly. Not a lot of burning metal into my flesh. I drew the line there. No, I mean, I tell you what I did do. I played Total War Warhammer and spent a lot, but three or four different dwarven campaigns just immersing myself in the accent, sort of, but mostly the dialect, the idioms, and the culture. How does Fawn compare to others? believe it or not, Fawn is probably on the more restrained end of characters that I tend to play. that's the big thing, I suppose, is that, you know, he has a purpose, and he follows orders mostly. and he cares about the people under his command, and usually beastmen, orcs, chaos sorcerers, usually it's just, let's see just how quickly into the audio drama I can hack someone into lots of pieces. Tends to be the usual motivation for my characters. working with Brian is just fun. I mean, whenever you're working with someone of that caliber and Brian is right up there, you just sponging knowledge and wisdom and stuff. So that was hugely wonderful. But mostly the come away was just, he's just really fun and he's so good. It's just very artistically satisfying. And yeah, we were laughing whenever the recording button got turned off. We were just in hysterics. What do I know about Black Library and Games Workshop? I mean, I came up as a kid playing. I had a 11,500 point undead army led by Clown Nagash, before it all got split up into vampire counts. But yeah, so I, as a kid, I was a big, Warhammer, hobbyist. And so yeah, and I played, you know, Dawn of War and Total War Warhammer and stuff. So I'm a big Games Workshop nerd. Recording this audio drama was, yeah, I mean, it was just fun. It always is. And then we were in a new flashy studio down in London and working with Brian Blessed and everyone. When you're in a situation like that, everyone finds themselves operating on just the next level up. So it's this exhilarating, like, rush of creativity and adrenaline and lots and lots of shouting. The coolest moment for Fawn should be when he comes charging in on a Magmadroth, but really, my favourite moment for Fawn is when I got my nose bitten off by Brian Blessed. Hands down, I'm never going to ever stop telling people that that happened.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.